Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies, so I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Why, sporty, woody, dragon, why? Why, sporty, woody, dragon,
say some words, Mike.
Ready. What an appropriate song for National Wine Day. Today is National Wine Day. Not W-H-I-N-E like you do, Stu, but like W-I-N-E, wine like I do. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show.
And no samples.
That's the way I am. I've got to go buy wine today because I never keep wine in my house.
Slacker.
So one New Year's, I was asked, so what champagne did you get for tonight? I go, I'll be right back. And I had a warehouse full of wine and champagne and didn't have anything else. So, I went and got it and came home and brought in a new year. And the new year was just as bad as the year we just finished. But anyway, this is the Memorial Day weekend edition. And, I know people think it's the official kickoff to summer, but when you live down here, it's almost summer year round.
It is the official kickoff of the summer tourism.
Tourism, season. See, blocking the roads and the tunnel and honking in the tunnel. Oh, that drives me nuts. People honking in the tunnel.
Man, when I was in high school, I had a 73 Ford LTD, 351 Windsor. My dad split the manifold, so it was a twin manifold. My dad put glass packs on it. Mm. I'd pop that puppy into neutral going through that tunnel and just... Well, that was cool.
So you were that crazy person doing that.
I never honked, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, but...
Any peasant can honk.
Yeah, especially tourists. I call them tourists because they're tourists and they're terrorists at the same time, terrorizing everybody, especially...
But without them... There's nothing in Gulf Shores or Orange Beach. It's a town of about 1,200 people each.
Well, there's a lot of people over there now.
Yeah.
And I was just
to
down
handle
there.
The tourists.
I was down there Friday to take my nephew, who's in Marines, stationed at NAS Pensacola.
World's largest naval institution.
We went over there and the home of the Blue Angels. Mm-hmm. I went over there, picked him up at the gate, and... we went and had lunch at the Floribama River, Old River Grill, and that place is so cool.
Yeah,
and there's really. So much great scenery there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
plus the scenery. Beach, right?
Too.
Yeah.
But and then we walked across the street to the Floribama, so he could
Floribama
get the,
proper.
Yes, and so he could get the experience. He'd never had a bushwhacker. He just turned 21, by the way. So he's
but he can drink on the base,
huh?
He can drink on the base.
Yeah,
21. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he has,
and as it should be, if you're willing to lay down your life at 18, you should be able to come home after a day of getting shot at and have a cold beer.
That's it. But and he has partaked in drinking on the base since he turned 21. I'm sure he looked like he's been drinking before he was 21 too. But he had a good time, and before he has to go to Colorado next, I think he said. But we
poor
had a good
guy.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Gonna have to go to Colorado during the hottest time of the year.
I know.
It might be 78 degrees.
Well, he's only gonna be there a few months, and he's got to go back to Texas. During the summer.
Literally back
August,
in the prime.
It looks like. Yeah, August it looks like. But anyway, we want to thank, this is about honoring those who have given their lives for their country. It's not about Independence Day. It's not about grilling out and celebrating that way. It's just supposed to pay homage and gratitude and memorialize these people who have laid there, like who gave everything they had for this country.
And there's no better way to memorialize them than to enjoy the freedoms that they fought for.
That's it. That's it. That is it. So people, I don't think people realize what it's about. Any of the holidays, actually, because we celebrate them for the wrong reasons, I think.
Well, a lot of them we have are for the wrong reasons.
Commercialized.
We celebrate them for the right reasons.
They're all commercialized.
Now. Every holiday. If it wasn't for commercials, there'd be no reason to have a holiday.
Yeah.
That, and so that, you know, people in Washington, D.C. can get 42 days a year paid off from work.
Yeah. There, sat.
Yeah.
And
because Congress's job is so hard.
I know. I don't know. They were up at the 4 a.m. in the morning voting on something.
Not 4 a.m. in the afternoon?
They should have been a.m. in the afternoon, not in the morning. But I don't know. Maybe they got a call. So,
well,
yeah,
Michael, just, as you know, as you get older, your body produces less melatonin and you need less sleep. They're probably up at 4 in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Harvey said something one time that makes a lot of sense. He said, successful people have never slept in a day in their life.
No, you're right.
They're up before the sun every day.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to do that, you're never going to be a millionaire. Yeah. I like sleeping in, and I don't care to be a millionaire.
A millionaire ain't much anymore. It's not much anymore. How about a half a billionaire? Although I'm not
Which
a millionaire,
half?
I checked my mega tickets and my Powerball tickets, and I'm here. I am. I would still be here anyway
to gloat
to say see y'all.
Yeah, to gloat.
That's all right. Well, I was over there in Florida.
I will be back into work tomorrow, but only so I could tell all of y'all what I think about you.
Yeah, I'd wait till the money's. I'd wait till the money's in the bank, the check clears, and all that before I do that.
Richard Bach, the writer,
mm-hmm.
most notably for Jonathan Livingston Seagull,
mm-hmm.
took a writing class at UCLA. And the first day of class, the creative writing professor says, "If any of you are thinking you're going to come in here and dazzle me with your prose and your ability to smith words and think you're going to walk out with an A, I've never given an A in 35 years of teaching." He said, "The only way you get an A is when you can show me a canceled check for where you got paid for your writing."
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of his college career, Richard Bach kind of had a fallen out with his girlfriend, took time off from school, went to Mexico, disappeared. When he finally came back to the U.S., his agent goes, "I've been trying to get in touch with you for a month." "Why? What's wrong?" He goes, "Nothing's wrong. Have you checked your bank account?" He goes, "No." And he goes, "Jonathan Livingston Seagull's number one on the New York Times bestseller. I just deposited over $1 million in your account." And so he took the check from the $1 million and walked into his professor and said, "I want my A."
Would too.
And he said one of the things that that professor did was he hated commas when they weren't needed.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same book where he's telling that story, he said, "And now, comma, I put comma a comma comma every time I want to put one because he doesn't have $1 million."
Wow.
Yeah. So that's about as cool I just hit the jackpot story as I've ever heard.
Speaking of writing a book. Who is qualified to edit a cookbook? You know,
anyone who does editing, just look online. There's people that were edit all the time. You can probably hire literature student from South Alabama. I can tell you, it's a pain in the neck. I'd much rather edit a regular book than a cookbook.
Yeah,
Oh my God!
I would imagine the cookbook's got to be one of the most difficult.
It really is to get the formatting right so that when it prints out that a recipe that was on one full page doesn't have one line on the next page and then a mm-hmm. whole bunch of blank stuff.
Yeah.
It's a pain.
Yeah.
And then everyone wants an index of ingredients, so then you have to sit there and go back and check every ingredient that you used in the book
mm-hmm.
and write down every page that it appears on, which is ridiculous when you're talking about, like, onion. So it is very difficult to edit a cookbook.
Onion.
Yeah.
Just imagine trying to edit a book for Justin Wilson. Onions.
I don't think he's writing any new ones.
No, not of yet. No. Yeah. Of, you know.
Yeah. See,
there are ghostwriters.
Yeah. Before we go to break, should we tell people that you're about to disappear for a few minutes?
I'm going
to
disappear for a little bit. We got Charlie Moss. Surprise guest. Remember Charlie Moss?
Good old Charlie Moss.
As he gets up, walks out of the studio. 251-343-0106 is the call and text in line. And if you want to call in and text in and say something to Charlie, you got to do it while you can.
Yep. Way down on a mobile bay.
So long. How are you doing?
Most of you will recognize this voice right here. Charlie Moss produced this show for many a year. And Charlie had a unique dining experience recently that he wanted to share with everybody. And since Mike wanted a nap, we thought, perfect, come on in.
And we also have the hostess for that event yesterday afternoon. Inga Martin is on the line as well. We're not quite ready for Inga to be on yet.
So where did you head to, Charlie?
Okay, they live in the Cantonment area north of Pensacola. And this was a really unique thing, and I never can remember how to pronounce it.
I got you back.
What is it?
Raclette.
Raclette. Okay, and basically, describe it as briefly as I can, there was, in the middle of the table, there was a fairly large, well, I say fairly large, about a 2 foot long oval-shaped grill, and then underneath it was like a heating plate or something.
So that you could use it like a broiler.
Right, and then... we had on the table, there were three kinds of meat, and as soon as Philip can get her on the phone, we'll talk to Inga and let her better describe this. But this apparently is a German-originated
Germanic is probably a better description.
Yeah.
It's very popular in Switzerland as well.
Yeah.
So those are your Germanic states, Denmark, Austria, Germany, Switzerland. They all speak Deutsch.
Inga, are you on the line?
I certainly am.
Oh, okay. Well,
did I get all of that right, Inga, about the Germanic states?
Well, we all do not speak Deutsch. Now Holland does.
Right.
But if I was to go to Sweden or Norway or any of those countries, I would definitely not understand those people unless I speak English. Most people now, especially the young ones, do speak English. But the German language is proprietary to the German people, and as close as we are to France, we don't speak French either, and they don't speak German either.
Yeah, I had a good friend when I was living in Nashville who was from Zurich, and he taught me that in Switzerland, there are two languages, French and German, except for one little town that speaks Italian.
Wow. But there is a lot of dialect involved.
Oh, I imagine.
And so that might make it very difficult for one state, like Switzerland, understands the Bavarian people or the people from my area, because we have a very, very strong accent when we speak our dialect, and nobody else can really understand it. That is not from that area.
Inga, let me jump in here with you just for a second. First of all, I want to thank you and Chuck for hosting us, inviting my wife and I and some other friends over. And this unique dinner also encourages conversation, because I know we were eating for at least an hour.
At least, if not for 2 hours.
and it was very enjoyable, concluding with the indulgent cake, which I certainly enjoyed. But anyhow, let's talk about what actually was served. First of all, what were the meats that you had? I think there were three.
All right. No, I had a pork tenderloin. Well, yeah, in a way. I had pork tenderloin, which I cut up to a size, a small size, that would heat up quickly on top. All it has underneath the top is a ring that heats up and heats the top, and as well as then you push this little pan underneath, and it will melt your cheese. But so anyway, it heats the top and the bottom at the same time, and it's not a broiler, but it's just the heating element.
Right.
But anyway, I had bratwurst, German bratwurst, cut up in small pieces. I had a pork tenderloin. That was a barbecue pork tenderloin, sliced not too thin, but thin. And I had shrimp. And then we had mixed vegetables.
Talk about and, the vegetables. Everything was great on this meal, by the way.
You can put anything you want on there.
Well, I know you had onion and zucchini and squash.
Yes, we had mushrooms. And, yes, we had a variety. So if one person doesn't like something, then the other person might eat it, you know. You put on your stuff that you want to eat. I had five people. I had duplicates on one side as of the other side, so people didn't have to reach around.
So we put on the grill the things that we wanted to eat.
Exactly, yes. And when it was, when you felt it was due, then you put it in this little oval pan. First, you put a little potato in there, boiled cooked potato that was on the table. You kind of broke it up a little bit if you wanted to, or sliced it. And then, so that it would not stick into this tiny little pan. And then you piled on the things that you grilled on top. But the last part is a cheese that melts easily. And then you don't want it too high, otherwise it comes against that heated coil. So you have to keep it at a definite
mashed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And this, then, and Inga, this is we're having to watch the clock too. This is a bit of a departure, and it's sort of an inside story because you're not aware of this. But Margarita and I brought the wine.
And, absolutely.
And it was not white Zinfandel. So I'm
proud of you, Charlie.
Yeah, they get on me about this every time I come around to visit the cooking show.
What wine would you normally pair with raclette? Would it be like a Gewürztraminer or a Riesling, or would you go with something red?
It depends on the people that are going to enjoy this wine.
I love that
answer.
Spoken like a true diplomat.
Some people like dry wine, and if I know that, I serve it. If other people like some sweet, I serve that. It just depends on my guests.
And I never can remember the name of what I brought yesterday.
It was a Moscato, which you were told I like Moscato.
I liked it, too.
And I like that, yes. But I don't like any of the dry wines. But like I said, I have everything here in case somebody does want that. They don't like the sweet wine, so I serve that to the individual people.
And tell us about the dessert, which I got in trouble because I ate more than I'm supposed to.
I'll be honest with you. I went to Aldi, and they're springing up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And every so often, they do have a truckload of German desserts, and you can tell because the German flag is on top of it, so you know it comes directly from Germany. And one of them was like a Black Forest cake, except it was called Donauwelle, and Donau is a river, and a Welle is a wave, but it tasted very similar to a Black Forest cake. And the other one was like a honey with had almonds and honey. Mm. The almonds were steeped in honey, and it's a honey feasting cake. And they're also from Germany.
Well, I'll tell you what, Inga, you not only did a good job on the radio, but, boy, you hosted a wonderful party yesterday, and we enjoyed the food, and we enjoyed the conversation, too.
And I'm glad you were able to come on and share it. My mother's family is German. We pronounce it in the U.S. stores, but I understand in Germany it's pronounced Storz, S-T-O-R-Z.
And so some of this brings back memories of my mother and my grandfather. So thank you for coming on
the
show.
Oh, I see. Absolutely. I enjoyed it, and thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you very much, man.
Have a nice day, Inga.
Thank you.
And Charlie, thank you for coming on and sharing this with us.
Man, I'll tell you what, when I sent you a text yesterday, we were just basking in the afterglow of this this event.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend it to anybody going to have a little food party.
Yeah, raclette is a great way to go. 251-343-0106.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot, smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar, and don't run. I will pay for gumbo. I will pay for gumbo.
Hey, Mike.
It's too hot for gumbo, huh?
You know what would have gone great with that raclette that Charlie had?
But
some Bill Lee's bacon.
Bill Lee's bacon.
Yep.
I'll agree.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Danny. Do you
think
Bill Lee's bacon would go good with raclette?
It's going to go good with anything.
How's it going, buddy?
It's good. We got a few things in the iron. I'm doing a little yard work, but I managed to not miss your showtime here, which I've done in the past. So anyway, we got a few things going on. So first things first. I mean, it is Memorial Day weekend, and as you guys noted earlier, this is while we do enjoy the time off, and there's a reason we have time off, and that's because of the sacrifices of the men and women in uniform. And there are folks that are still dealing with the sacrifices they make. And we have the pleasure, David and I have the pleasure of working, honor actually, of working with a group called A Hero USA. We help publish a magazine for A Hero. And this is a group that is working diligently to deal with vet suicide, and not only just vet suicide, but also dealing with first responders and helping the, and they do a variety of different things. We publish a magazine about it. One of the things that they do, they have a group called A Hero Records. And it's a really cool effort. It's a music therapy program, and the idea is to help vets and first responders really tell their stories. It's therapeutic for them to be able to write lyrics, write songs, and deal with the emotions that they've got. That, you know, it's not something that you can just share with anybody else. And so it's a really cool effort. And I'll post some information on it, but where that plays is, with this being Memorial Day weekend, I reached out to my buddy over in Pensacola, and he hooked me up with Justin Touchette and The Way. And Justin is a Afghan war vet, and he's worked with these guys. He's wrote some songs with A Hero Records and that kind of stuff. So I thought it was cool a way to celebrate both and recognize both his contribution and his support for what he did in serving in Afghanistan and supporting us, and then also talk a little bit about A Hero music. So Justin's playing in our sunset concert down at Dolphin Island this afternoon, or this evening, 6 to 8. It's just going to be great. I haven't seen him in person, but I'll listen to some of the music. They got a combination of some country, not twangy country, but some good country and some old school rock and a little bit of contemporary Christian. So just a variety of stuff out there. It's going to be a good show. And he's got a great band backing him up. We're not talking about rookies. They got a great history. Justin's, he's an Asheville recording artist. I'll figure out how to say that word in a minute.
Artiste.
That works. Thank you, sir. So they'll get out there and play a little blues and just be, the concert venue at Fort Gaines is wonderful. The acoustics are great. Set up on the lawn, bring your adult beverages, or just your beverages, whatever you want, a little snack. I tell folks they can bring the dogs. I don't recommend cats. You can bring your kids.
But keep them on a leash.
It depends on. We've had to chase a few kids down every now and then because the port's wide open. You can climb on a bunch of stuff, but some of the stuff you're not supposed to climb on. So we can come back in bounds every now and then, but it's pretty loose.
Yeah. And David, Danny, I hate to interrupt you, but I think it's important to note that this concert will be going on in a place where a lot of heroes gave their lives.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. I can't think of a better place to have a concert for Memorial Day unless it's, right across the Sound of Fort Morgan.
Well, there you go. It's from 6 to 8. 7:45 is official sunset, so we'll do our conch salute with King Conch and the Conch Fritters at about 7:45. And these guys will wrap it up. And it's $5. Kids are under 12 are free. It's a great afternoon, great venue and that kind of stuff. And we'll get the middle part of this Memorial Day weekend. And the mayor will be there, and he'll talk about other things they've got. They've got some other Memorial Day stuff going on. There's always good stuff going on down in Dolphin Island and stuff. So I'll post some information about A Hero Records and also A Hero USA online. That's our weekend. But as you mentioned, we got a little something else coming up next weekend, next Saturday. It's turning out pretty good. It's the best of Billy's Bacon. We got a handful of some exciting chefs that will be here, and I haven't really shared a whole lot about who they are. But we got Jackie Siwu, who is a former World Food Championship. The big dog. She won it all a couple of years
Mike
ago.
Yeah, Mike and I went over and watched her in New Orleans cook. That was the one we went to over at Nalfi.
She is she's the head chef for the Island View Casino Group. So she's actually sous chef for this event. She's bringing one of her chefs over who's going to be the actual chef for this event to get qualified. We got the Fairhope, Grand Hotel is going to be there. They're cooking. Favorite group of mine, the Grill Sergeants, Yards Beach Police Department. They do great. They turn out some stuff. They're no slouches. Deborah Hodges is going to be there. She's got a couple of dishes lined up. We've got another chef that's kind of in between restaurants, but he's got some cojones with him. He's going to be there showing up. So we got they're cooking anything with Billy. We've got some folks that are doing bacon crackers. We got sliced bacon. We got whole bacon. We got pork belly. So they'll be turning in their competition dishes to be judged according to our EAT qualifications for WFC. And then they're also doing a People's Choice category, and that'll be open to the public at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1. And as I said, I think last time we were talking about it, it's the grand charge of zero to get in. So
what a deal.
We've got – this is going to be a benefit for the Baldwin County Humane Society. So don't come empty-handed. Bring something in your wallet. Buy a T-shirt. Make a contribution. We're trying to help those good folks out, and it's going to be a good time. Billy is super excited about it. We've talked about trying to do an event with him for a number of years, and it just hadn't panned out. So we're happy to have this, we haven't billed it as our first annual, but we're certainly expecting it to be our first annual. So.
Amateur category?
Amateur category. Well, I don't think Deborah's going to be competing in the world food side of it.
Okay.
The amateur side of it is going to be all about the People's Choice side. So, I mean,
okay.
They might not, the teams are not required to serve their same dish for People's Choice as they do for the competition, because sometimes the competition dish is stepped up a little bit, and when you're serving a whole bunch of samples, but several of the teams are doing the same. So,
right.
So they get their choice, and Billy's providing the product, so that gives him the leeway to soup it up as they want. And I'm not actually cooking. I'm sous chefing with a couple of teams. My friends from Bras Across the Causeway and Sipping or Skipping are coming, so we've got a few things that we'll be working with promote what we do with breast cancer awareness, breast cancer stuff. So we got that coming out, and I'm always willing to help. Deborah Hodges has a she's going to be doing a cool dish. So as always, so it's going to be.
Deborah is great. She's better than a team player.
Absolutely. Which, speaking of which, just so you guys know, we are working on, this is a little early, but we are working on a Labor Day event, which will be a Best of Hall sausage competition. So we're going to be doing a big Labor Day event that will be all about Hall's meats. It won't just be their sausage. It'll be whatever you want to cook with Hall. So we're not sure exactly. I haven't worked nailed down all the details of that, but that's going to be a good event.
Ooh. So. Mike's already volunteering to judge.
So, Mike, I'm not sure if I have a judging seat available for you, but certainly I can get you access to the judging room if you're available Saturday morning. The event's open to the public starting at 10. So the first turn in for my judges will be right around that time. And, you know, I've got with the number of teams, we've got several of my competition teams are actually turning in two dishes. Mm-hmm. So they're rolling their sleeves up and going to work. Because it is for a World Food Championship ticket and bacon. And so, of course,
so they're basically practicing their structured dish and their original dish? Is that what they're doing?
No, they're going to turn in two separate entries. So they'll be judged twice.
It's good practice to work on two dishes at the same time in a lot of amount of time. It's smart thinking. Yeah.
I don't need to judge. I just want to go to the events.
He just wants to eat.
Yeah.
I just want to eat.
Yeah.
Mike said, after each judge takes their bite, I'm the guy they pass their plate to.
I've
had that job before.
Yeah. He's just going to put it all on one plate, dump it in a big tortilla, and have at it.
I'm the finisher.
So it's going to be it's I'm really excited about it. You know, when you're doing a first time event, you're always a little bit leery about how all the stuff is coming together. And I'm getting ready to pack up and head north to Muscle Shoals for the rest of the week. So it was kind of a little bit leery of me about getting all my ducks lined up before I left. But I think we're all lined up, so I'm excited about that part of it. And I got a few folks here that are kind of keeping an eye on the shop while I'm gone, and I think we're going to be in good shape. So it's going to be a fun event.
Sounds like it, man.
I got the Eastern Chamber of Commerce is helping out with a few things, so they'll be there. And,
good organization. And, I've worked with them before.
Yeah, well, they got a few things going on, and I got Casey's going to be one of my judges, and she does a good job with wrangling her folks in, and so we got some other folks that are going to be. So it's a good event, and. You know, when you say Billy's bacon, people start. You have to hand them a napkin because they start drooling. So,
you should see Mike right now.
Well, Hall sausage too. Hall sausage, too.
Well, Danny, we appreciate you calling in, buddy. And as usual, if anybody wants to know any more information, they can go to where?
They can go to Danny Calametti, my Facebook page, Danny Calametti, or Alabama Coasting. Either one of those.
All right, appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
Take care, man.
All right, one more segment, folks. 251-343-0106. Mike and I are going to talk about eating Memorial Day food.
That's it.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike, I know you ain't cooking jack squat for Memorial Day.
I beg to differ.
You're cooking jack squat?
No, not jack squat, but something good.
Oh, what you got?
I'm toying two different things. I'm thinking about doing short ribs today.
Beef short ribs.
No, take that back. I was going to do that, but it takes about 5-6 or more hours to do it in a smoker. So I thought about going ahead and buying them today. Put them in marinade, you know, let them marinate a little bit overnight, a bunch of salt on them and all that. Then get up early in the morning, put them on the smoker in the morning, and let them just smoke all, you know, to about 1 or 2 o'clock. And
let me throw out
another
cut for you to try.
Okay.
Beef shoulder clod. You'll have to go to the meat department and ask for it. It's usually gets used in ground chuck. stuff like that. It's the whole piece, and they'll break other roasts and things out of it. In West Texas, if you get a beef sandwich, it is not brisket. It is shoulder clod. And that's what the clod is. It comes from the front shoulder. You will not be able to tell much of a difference. And it is half the price. Because it's chuck. It's, you know. So it's a little fattier, but a little more tender. I like that. Yeah, but it is. I have got one before, and I think for the same poundage, it would have cost me $50 to $60 for brisket. I got the shoulder clod for about
$25.
And just, you know, slow and slow.
Slow and slow.
Yep. Till you get an internal temperature of about 180 degrees. Then you want to wrap it with foil and put it back on until it hits about 205.
Okay. A lot of people don't understand about beef ribs. When you say the smoker on 205 or the temperature, the meat temperature on the inside.
And you want to start at 180. That means it's done.
Yeah.
But you want it to slowly go up a little more, and that's when you really get the collagen to break down, and it gets that stick to your ribs, lick your fingers kind of good.
I didn't get in an argument. I got in a disagreement with a smoker, griller friend of mine about the beef ribs.
Yeah.
About what internal temperature they're supposed to have. I try to tell him that you've got to have a higher internal temperature. You don't want them bloody red.
Yeah. Which they're still delicious that way, by the way. I have done beef ribs that way on a smoker about 2 hours. Got a good crust, and it's medium rare on the inside. To me, that was perfect, too.
Yeah.
But a little chewier, although it's not a tough cut. But if you want that tenderness, you got to go way past. You got to get 180 or beyond.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that wrapping it with foil and putting it back on for a little while, that's called the Texas crunch. And you'll do it with ribs, but brisket especially.
Now, I do love to put a bark on it. I love to put a bark on my beef ribs.
Yeah. And then that last hour or so when it's wrapped is just getting all of the moisture to stay inside.
Yeah.
Keep it nice and moist and very tender.
Right, right. So I'm thinking about doing pork ribs today and then beef ribs tomorrow.
I am doing a duck.
A duck.
Yeah, coffee rub duck. I'm going to slow smoke it about three and a half hours till it's tender enough to pull like pork.
Oh, that's different.
Yep. And it is. I have done it before. It is some of the best barbecue you'll ever have. And it's a healthy alternative to pulled pork because the fat in duck is a polyunsaturated fat,
right,
like canola oil or olive oil.
Right.
Because it's not a fat that is produced from overeating. It is an evolutionary response to wanting the birds to be able to float easier on water.
Yeah.
So it's not a fat generated from obesity.
Right.
It's part of the natural part of – and geese have it as well.
Right.
And it's just right under the skin, and it helps them – because fat is very buoyant. Anyone who's – well, you know this. You've taken scuba diving lessons. The fatter you are, the more weight you got to put on your scuba suit.
Oh, yeah.
Because fat is so buoyant.
Well, I'll tell you, when I remember going down to the Keys, I didn't realize how salty it is more down there, and you just can't go down. You keep having to put more weight on down there because the water's so thick with salt.
It's denser.
Yeah. And
which
even as big as I am, I couldn't go down and I had to put more weights on.
Yeah. Which blows the theory out of the water that people have always told. It's an old wives' tale and it is wrong, that water will boil faster if you salt it first. That is incorrect. It is impossible. You add salt, you make the water more dense. It takes longer to boil.
Yeah.
So wait until the water is boiling to
then
add salt.
Your salt.
Yeah. That is an old wives' tale that it will boil faster with the salt in it. It does not do that. It raises the boiling temperature, not lower.
Yeah. Cool.
Putting a lid on it will make it boil faster.
I'm planning on tonight, I'm going to make some clarified butter when I get home.
Do you have a gas grill, stovetop?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, I got an easy way to make that if you have a pilot light.
Oh, okay.
Put the butter in a pan, wrap it with cellophane, and just leave it on the pilot light overnight.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and clarify it, but I'm going to infuse garlic in it and put garlic in it. And then when I get it done, I'm going to pour it into a bowl that I want to store it in, and I'm going to put a sprig of rosemary in it.
Okay.
And that's going to be my brush.
Okay.
And then whenever I get ready to have steaks or something, I can just pull my rosemary out and just brush it on.
You know, you could also just go to the
international market and get a jar of what's called ghee, G-H-E-E. Mm-hmm. It's from India. It's already clarified butter.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do it myself.
Yeah. And that's cool.
I'm going to do it yourself or I want to do it myself.
What you going to do with all that cream you got to skim off the top?
I don't know.
You got cats, don't you?
No.
Okay, good.
I
was going to say, because cats have lactose intolerance, and you always see people giving them a bowl of milk, and, man, you don't want to do that. You do not want to give a cat milk.
Well, when I had cats, they loved my almond milk.
Yeah, and that's fine, too, but it doesn't have lactose in it, which is the whole point of it.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's the lactose is the natural sugar that occurs mainly in cow's milk, and the other one is human milk, so mother's milk.
Yeah.
It has a lot of lactose in it. The body tends to stop breaking it down after age two because you're supposed to be off of mother's milk from then.
Weaning by then, yeah.
And but the interesting thing about lactose intolerance, the closer your ethnic heritage is to the equator, the more likely you are to have acid reflux. So a lot of African Americans suffer from lactose intolerance. Mm-hmm. And don't know what's going to, they just think, you know, their stomach's upset.
Yeah.
And then you've got people like Charlie was on with Ingra, they're close to the Arctic Circle there. Your body can handle it. People with a heritage close to the Arctic Circle can handle lactose better.
Huh.
I have German and Irish and Scottish in my blood. That's close to there. You've got Irish in your blood, probably some German too, just basic Euro trash.
I'm German, yeah.
But
I'm Euro trash for sure.
Yeah. That's closer to the, to the Arctic Circle, so
everything I was told growing up was not true until I got my DNA, ancestry.com and DNA test, and then I saw, whoa, so part of what I've been told growing up is not true.
Yeah.
So
well, we always thought we were Irish, and then my brother got with an aunt up in Choctaw County who's done the family tree. She says, no, baby. Our family came from left Glasgow, Scotland, on a boat and arrived here in 1880. Three brothers; they were the first people with the last name Donald in the U.S.
Mm.
And spread from there of that particular time coming over.
Right.
And then, when you get into the Irish and the Scottish, you've got the Septs. So MacDonald, McDowell, Donald, O'Donnell, all of that is the same family, just in different regions they pronounce the name a different way. Just like you've got Bailey spelled with an E and without an E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I worked for K&B Drugs. They spelled it B-A-I-L-E-X.
Hmm.
The French way.
Yeah.
Bailey.
I was going to say, they would have to have some kind of Latin involved with it.
And it was on my paycheck that way.
Huh.
You know, so.
Or it could have been a typo and they just didn't care.
Well, I think they just assumed it was an egg since they were all French.
Get us out of here, Mike.
All right, folks, get out there, support local, be local, battle up. Remember what Memorial Day is for, and be safe out there. Don't do anything stupid. Drive safe. Don't drink and drive. Obey the flags at the beach. And what else?
Provolone.
Yeah.